Well, folks, last Friday, Rush Limbaugh was back at the microphone. He was out, I think, Wednesday and Thursday, because, as we know, he's getting cancer treatment. But he was there on Friday, and have a listen to what he had to say.
From sunny South Florida, it's Open Line Friday.
Yeah, so much has happened since we were last together. I'm looking forward here to being able to recap all this.
So now he's going to go into a little bit about how he thinks the media is backing off on their criticism of Donald Trump about the virus.
This morning in Washington, the president signed an $8.3 billion special spending. Oh, have you noticed, by the way, that the Democrats and the media criticism of the Trump administration of coronavirus is starting to vanish?
No. Come on.
If you haven't noticed that,
no.
Pay special attention, because it is, they're starting to back off of it.
No, you're delusional.
The Democrats, the media, screaming about the government's lack of response to the coronavirus, they're backing off of this. And I'll tell you why they're backing off of it. They're backing off it because it's not becoming the pandemic in this country that they were all expecting.
Oh, you've got to be kidding me, Rush. I mean, have you been asleep under a rock someplace? My God, every day the numbers get worse and worse. I mean, I assume that you're watching Fox News. I would assume so. And the numbers are even being reported on Fox News. So that is ridiculous.
From sunny South Florida, it's Open Line Friday.
Yes, so. And I've got an audio soundbite here of a famous Democrat talking about what an opportunity the coronavirus is or was for the Democrats, for those of you who have doubted me about that.
No, nobody is waiting for the president to blow it, Rush. This is a very serious situation, and nobody's standing there with bated breath just waiting for Donald Trump to blow it. It's delusional.
The media and Democrats are really, really toning down their criticism of the Trump administration's reaction in dealing with the coronavirus situation.
No, you're wrong.
Now, there are reasons for this.
Really?
There are substantive reasons for this.
You think?
First among them is somebody woke up and realized that the Democrat Party was looking awful attempting to politicize this, because the Democrat Party was setting themselves up where they benefit if you get sick.
Nobody has said that the Democrats are going to benefit if somebody gets sick. I mean, Rush, that's ridiculous. Come on. In what you're actually doing by saying that is politicizing it yourself. Nobody is saying that the Democrats are going to benefit. Donald Trump is either going to effectively handle this crisis or he's not. That's what it comes down to.
More people that get sick, the better for the Democrat Party.
Wrong.
That's not a tenable position for them.
Nobody says that. That's BS.
They've decided to stand back. They don't need to talk people into any kind of reaction. Whatever happens is going to be obvious. They're rolling
True.
The dice here.
No,
that
not.
Trump and his administration are going to blow it.
You're politicizing it, Rush.
But they have decided to stop trying to coax people into thinking that it's been blown beforehand. They also realize, by the way, that the Trump administration does not blow these things. Can you think back?
I think they're doing a pretty good job of it right now, Rush. I mean, just look at the amount of test kits that we don't have. They're doing a pretty good job of blowing it right now. So this is where Rush kind of goes into a little bit of a diatribe about how he's been under attack by saying that the virus really isn't that bad.
So Democrats are looking at this, and they're understanding here that the politicizing this very, very unseemly. Now, I have a couple of sound bites here to illustrate that which I'm referring to.
Oh, can't wait.
Because you know that your host has come under all kinds of criticism for being insensitive and unkind and mischaracterizing.
Yes.
Your host has been falsely accused of saying the coronavirus is no different than the common cold. When I made that comment, it was talking about the number of cases, the severity at the time, that we never have been in a circumstance that warranted shouting fire in a crowded theater.
Now, this is where he goes in and he tries to use that same argument that Donald Trump did, where if you count the cases where people get it but they don't get sick, it would actually be lower. You know, there's an established way of reporting flu cases. And generally, it is by means of those who get sick. And that is a quantifiable way to come up with the statistics. But listen to Rush, how he goes into this.
In the single digits. So 98% of people who get coronavirus survive it. It is just within the universe of people that get the disease is what these numbers are, not of the... If it were expressed as a percentage of the whole population, it would be...
Expressed as a percentage of the whole population? Then it would be lower, is what he's going to say. Well, if it was expressed as a percentage of the whole global population, it wouldn't exist then, would it, Rush?
As low as the reported numbers of people who succumb to the flu.
It's insane.
But the number 2% has been used here only within the universe of people who get the disease, which is what's...
Which is what they do. Rush, that's quantifiable.
Interesting to people now, given that the disease is new and just popping up all over the place.
And there's not enough data on it. There's still...
Yes. You want to know why there's not enough data? Because Donald Trump doesn't have enough test kits. So the data isn't there, is it?
Thought to be a lot of people with the disease don't even know they have it. People who have it are not suffering symptoms yet and may not, but who carry it, who may be transmitting it. The recovery rate for this disease worldwide is over 50%. And they never tell you that, by the way.
My God, Rush, it's 2.5% of the people that get it die. Is it that hard for you to get?
So, given my soundbite way back on February 27th, and a drive-by meeting, his boy is dangerous. He's not a doctor. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Yesterday in Washington, on Capitol Hill, the Assistant Secretary of Health and Human Services, Admiral Brett Zawar.
And folks, it doesn't mean he knows what he's talking about. Listen to this.
Spoke to reporters about the coronavirus, and listen to what he said here.
Yeah, let's
typical
listen.
Mortality rate for seasonal flu is about 0.1% or 0.15%. The best estimates now of the overall mortality rate for COVID-19 is somewhere between 0.1% and 1%, okay? That's lower than you heard.
Really? Based on what? Based on what information, for God's sakes, pray tell?
Probably in many reports. Why is this? Number one, is because many people don't get sick and don't get tested. So probably for every case, there are at least two or three.
So let me ask, how do you quantify how many people get sick and don't get tested? You can't quantify that. That's why we don't use that.
Cases that are not in the denominator. It certainly could be higher than normal flu. It probably is, but it's not likely
probably
in the range of 2 to 3%.
You really
have a denominator problem, and I want you to...
No, you've got a mental problem, sir. You have to base this information. The 2.4% is based on what is quantifiable. And when somebody gets this disease, this flu, and they show symptoms, that's quantifiable. The people that think they have it or might get it and don't have, you can't quantify that. So it's not counted. It's called science.
Understand that only the people who are really sick or have symptoms come in and get tested.
So, and his point there is that there are many more people who have the disease and don't know it and no symptoms, not suffering from it, than they know.
That's insane, Rush. I don't know where they get that logic, but it's certainly not science-based.
All of the fear that the media has attempted to infuse in this thing simply isn't warranted yet in the United States.
Well, folks, take a look at this. This came out today from the American Hospital Association. And what they're saying here, this is from the AHA, and they're saying that they expect over the next 2 months, 480,000 deaths, 4.8 million admissions, 90, 6 million cases. This is absolutely abysmal. And my whole point about Rush Limbaugh is he and the president are not taking this seriously. And that's a problem. They're underplaying this, and that is a problem.
Now, here is David Fluff. One more bite before we go to the break. David Fluff is the former Obama campaign manager, 2008 and 2012. And this is just a couple of days ago on CNN's New Day. Listen.
Does anybody have any confidence he's going to improve his standing managing this crisis with the coronavirus? So I think we've got an opportunity to win this election. This is still our election
Stop
to lose.
Stop the tape.
If Trump bungles this, what he's saying is that it will be obvious that it will have an effect on the election. I don't know if there's a good way you can say this, Rush. It's a reality.
There you have it. Rush, I never heard of these Democrats. You said that it's an opportunity. Right there it is. David Fluff, Obama campaign manager. This is an opportunity. And he's not the only one. This is just the one soundbite we have. The Democrats have been running around saying the coronavirus is an opportunity for Democrats.
Nobody's running around saying that. The obvious thing is, again, if Trump blows this, which I think he is doing, he shouldn't get elected. I mean, that's obvious.
Media had people saying it. They were salivating over it. How can that be? How could the coronavirus be an opportunity for Democrats? What has to happen for that to happen? A lot of people have to get sick, and the Trump administration has to blow it in dealing with it. That is the opportunity for Democrats. They politicize virtually everything. The president from the get-go has asked people not to politicize this.
Just by the way he's talking about it, you can tell that Rush himself is politicizing this.
To come together and solve this as a country, as a population, because it affects everybody. Coronavirus doesn't know whether you're male, female, doesn't know whether you're transgender, doesn't
this
know what
true.
Bathroom you use, doesn't know if you're male, female, conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat. It hits anybody who is susceptible to it. And yet here come the Democrats.
And, you know, talking about susceptibility, I would think that somebody that's getting cancer treatment would be a little bit more understanding about how dangerous this virus is, Rush.
Salivating over what an opportunity it could be.
No, no. And this isn't, listen to what he goes into here. Rush is going to try to make the argument that Donald Trump is a fixer. He's a deregulator. And that makes him specially qualified to fix this crisis. Broken logic, Rush.
Want to look for something good in the coronavirus?
No. Not at all.
How about the fact that somebody like Trump, who is a fixer, is actually the guy that's going to unwind all of the confusion and chaos in government?
You think the king of chaos is going to unwind the chaos?
That delays things like this being fixed.
No.
Okay, so here we have the CDC, Centers for Disease Control. Things are not running as smoothly as they should be there.
You think? Well, the test kits are a pretty good idea of things not running smoothly at the CDC.
Odds are. And, you know, Trump even dealt with this last night. He was asked a question at town hall about this. He said, well, look, you know, when we're first elected, dealing with things at the CDC was not at the top of the list. I mean, the CDC was not anybody's radar. Nothing was going on that involved the CDC. So you can't blame me for not having fixed it.
Yes, we can blame you, because every budget that you've put forward, and I'm going to show print screens here of analysis that's been done, every budget that Donald Trump has put forward has sought to cut the CDC's budget.
Took office. He said, look, we have discovered a bunch of problems that we inherited from the Obama administration. Now, I know that every administration, incoming administration, likes to blame things on the predecessors.
It's not Trump, is it?
But in this instance, Trump was being honest.
No, he's been there for 4 freaking years, Rush. He's had enough time to figure things out. It is his problem.
In January of 2017, he's inaugurated. There's no health crisis, so there's no reason to be delving into whatever's going on.
You don't think things like this could ever happen? I mean, it rains. The sun comes up every day. It is his problem.
On the CDC, or the National Institute for Health or any of that. Now, all of a sudden, there is. Now we've got this worldwide outbreak of a coronavirus, number 19. And all of a sudden, the CDC and the NIH and a number of these organizations are under the microscope. And guess what?
It's called preparing for disaster rush.
Some things are being found to be out of whack.
Yeah, do you think? You think? Some things, a few things are being found that are out of whack. Who would have thought?
Trump himself is a builder. Trump himself is somebody that deals with these kinds of crises, with this kind of daily chaos. He's been doing it his entire life in his primary business.
Oh, yeah. And he's been bankrupted how many times, Rush? So, folks, one thing I do want to show you here is I've got some screens on what Trump has been trying to do to the CDC's budget. And this is coming from ABC News. Here's the website right up there. And when you look at this, the president introduced his fiscal year 2021 budget proposal on February 10th, just 11 days after the World Health Organization declared the coronavirus outbreak a public health emergency of international concerns. The spending plan included a 16% reduction for CDC funding from the previous year's levels. So Trump is trying to kill the CDC by 16%. And here we are. In fact, the article goes on to say here, all of Trump's budget proposals have called for cuts to CDC funding, but Congress has intervened. The Democratic Congress has intervened, thank God, each time passing spending bills with year-over-year increases for the CDC that Trump then signed into law. This is one of the things I am most grateful for, is the fact that we have a Democratic Congress for things like this. To be caught and to be corrected. It's been our only check on this president. And then take a look at this. Here's another report from ABC News, and it talks about Trump budget proposes cuts to global health amid two global health crises. And the article goes on to say that amid two global health crises, the Trump administration has proposed cutting $3 billion from the U.S. government's global health programs in its latest budget request. The proposed cuts are unlikely to happen, again, given consistent bipartisan opposition to President Donald Trump's attempt to slash funding for the State Department and U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID. So it's just an amazing thing, folks, that what Donald Trump is doing here. And here's what he had or was trying to do to the World Health Organization budget. He was trying to cut that budget by 53%. 53% is what he wanted to cut the World Health Organization budget by. And what they're saying here is that the cuts were about seeking greater accountability and efficiency. And they prefer direct assistance to countries. So let me ask you, what assistance have we given to a country yet that's dealing with the coronavirus?